As sure as his resurrection, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
He meets us here, not just an empty cross, not just an empty tomb, but the very risen Christ himself, the one who is the resurrection and the life.
We'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon on Job for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, whenever you talk about the Southern Baptist Convention, you are almost immediately talking in generalities, aren't you? There's not a lot of specifics there. And in the media coverage, the specifics are sometimes sadly wanting. But you're talking about a huge denomination, if we can even call it a denomination, 16 million people, the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. And then when some Southern Baptists get together to discuss something, especially when it's something as controversial as homosexuality, the media coverage of that needs to be really specific. It needs to specify what the conclusions were, who was talking, who was saying what, and represent both sides, don't you think? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Memorial Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org will be with us for the first few minutes of the program. We're going to talk about a National Public Radio story and media coverage of Southern Baptist on homosexuality. A little bit later with him, media coverage of a creation statement at a Christian college that is making headlines. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us a little later in this hour. We'll be talking Genesis chapter 6, Noah. That's a familiar place, and teaching a Sunday school lesson with him. And then, in hour two of Issues Etc. on this Memorial Day, the Easter hymn, The Strife Is O'er, The Battle Done, Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Joining us to talk about a National Public Radio story on Southern Baptists and homosexuality, Bobby Ross Jr. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
National Public Radio was reporting on a meeting of Baptists. They were meeting to discuss, I suppose, among other things, homosexuality. And I wonder, what's your reaction as a religion reporter to this line from their print version of the story? Here's the line. Officially, Southern Baptists aren't backing down from their belief that homosexuality is sinful. What's your reaction there?
Well, my reaction as a reader, I guess, is, well, I guess unofficially, that's you're saying that they are backing down. And my reaction as a religion writer is, do you know anything about Southern Baptists? Because I don't think that the issue that homosexuality is not sinful is anywhere on the radar as far as the vast majority of Southern Baptist churches at this point.
Would it have been a better line to simply leave off officially, comma, and just say Southern Baptists aren't backing down?
Yeah, I think so. I think that word, that one word, makes all the difference in the world, because it just couches it in a different scenario and just leaves open the question, well, officially they're not doing this, but unofficially they are, it seems the impression that I take from it.
So tell us about this meeting of Southern Baptists, the subject of homosexuality, what came out of it, and then we'll talk about how it's covered by National Public Radio.
Okay, and one of the other issues with this NPR story was it was so vague. It said, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention held a gathering of pastors at its headquarters in April and never really says, well, what was this meeting? Who was there? And the only reason I would know is because there were some other media that reported on this, and this was a conference that I think the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission which is a commission of the Southern Baptist, had held a conference on sexuality to address some of these contemporary issues, and yet NPR didn't mention at all what the conference was. It was just real vague. The Southern Baptist Convention got some pastors together, and some of them were critical of the way that Southern Baptists have handled this issue. You know, a lot of broad statements and assumptions without a lot of specific reporting or information to go along with it.
Do you think that's due to a lack of understanding as to kind of what the Southern Baptist Convention is? I mean, it is, among other things, the largest Protestant denomination in the U.S., but it's
right.
Hard to define in denominational terms, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's hard to say. You know, I didn't take the time to Google the name of the writer to see if that writer maybe was new to religion reporting or new to Southern Baptist. But, I didn't know if it was a case where you know, the reporter heard what he wanted to hear, and this is the scenario that he would like to see happen or she would like to see happen. So this is the story that's put out there. It's hard to know.
What was the outcome, or at least the reported outcome, of this meeting of Southern Baptist pastors at headquarters there?
And there's not really an outcome given. It's just the idea that, you know, there were some people there who made statements along the lines of, we basically need to take a nicer tone, a more loving tone related to people who deal with same-sex attraction.
What voices did we hear in this story?
Well, we heard two pastors who apparently talked at this meeting. We didn't get a lot of, you know, we found out, you know, it's a pastor, and one was from Kentucky, one was from Florida. We don't learn much more about them or how they're involved in this issue, and don't really know, you know, there's not really enough detail to know whether these pastors are saying, let's, you know, we've got it wrong on our belief concerning homosexuality, we need to rethink that, or whether they're saying we've got the right doctrine, but we've got the wrong approach as far as how we deal with people. There's just a lot of, you know, there was a lot of unanswered questions in the story.
You say there's also the lack of a reasonable voice in the middle. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I'm a member of the Churches of Christ and write for the Christian Chronicle, which, you know, we cover Churches of Christ, and we've had some similar meetings where basically the approach is, you know, you can't go out and say mean things all the time about people who deal with same-sex attraction, then expect them to feel welcomed into your church. So we need to, you know, we need to find a better way to stick to what we believe biblically, while still allowing that this is something happening in our culture, and we want to treat people in a Christian way. And my suspicion is that some of the same kind of things were being said at the Southern Baptist Convention, and some of the same kind of, you know, not so much advocating that we've got it wrong on what we believe doctrinally on homosexuality, but maybe we've got it wrong on approach. And this story doesn't really reflect that. It's almost as if they're taking what they were saying about approach and assuming that they meant the doctrine was wrong. One of, you know, the analogy I used in the post I wrote on Get Religion was, you know, if these pastors had said, you know, we need to be nicer to men who struggle with viewing pornography online, it's almost as if NPR would say, well, officially these pastors are not saying that pornography is not sinful. And I think they're making a stretch that I think they're just taking it too far without a lot of information to back it up. If in fact there are pastors at the Southern Baptist Convention wanting to change their doctrine, the church's doctrine on same-sex marriage and homosexuality and that sort of thing, the story provides no evidence at all to back that up.
So could part of it simply be, for lack of a better word, a media template that says, look, either churches take this hard line that is maybe a caricature, they take this hard line, or they change their doctrine. There's no nuance in the middle. Is that part of the template that may be at work here at National Public Radio?
Yeah, I think you've hit it exactly as far as, you know, and I'm just guessing and conjecturing, if that's a word myself, but that's what I think is happening in this particular report.
Another story that you've written about recently has to do with Bryan College, the issue of creation and evolution. Give us that story, and then we'll talk about the coverage.
Oh, sure. That was on the front page of the New York Times this week, a story about a battle at Bryan College in Tennessee, which has some close connections to the Scopes trial. And, you know, so the evolution is kind of an issue that's been a debate there and a controversy there for a long time. And the story in the Times is just on the fact that I guess there's the requirements to serve on the faculty, a statement of belief that you've got to sign has always, for 80 years, you've had to sign a statement basically, you know, I believe that God created the earth, created man, that kind of thing. And in recent times, they've clarified that statement or adjusted it to say that faculty members must say that they believe that Adam and Eve were real humans created by God. Pretty, you know, I guess a literal belief in the Genesis account.
So how did you find the coverage of this story?
There were a couple of issues I had with it. One of the issues was there was a phrase in the story about this debate reflecting the problems many Christian colleges face trying to balance religious beliefs with secular education. And that sounds like maybe a New York Times worldview of Christian education, but I don't. The Christian university educators and administrators that I know would never suggest that they're providing any kind of secular education. They would say that they're trying to provide a religious education and a faith-based Christian worldview with high academic scholarship and standards, but basically, you know, everything going through the prism of their biblical beliefs, as opposed to having a secular education and trying to sprinkle that with a little bit of religion. It's, you know, maybe there's a subtle difference there, but that stood out to me. And then the other thing, which I think was, you know, a bigger problem in the story, was the New York Times quoted the statement that faculty members have had to sign for 80 years and basically truncated that into basically the origin of man was by fiat of God, and left off part where that statement includes that what the college's statement has always said, the fiat of God and the act of creation as related in the book of Genesis, and that man was created in the image of God, that he sinned and thereby incurred physical and spiritual death. I mean, so they've always had to sign a statement that they believe in the act of creation as related in Genesis. But the Times kind of makes it sound like suddenly Adam and Eve are inserted into it, and suddenly these faculty members are being asked to believe in the Genesis account, whereas that's always been the case. But yet the Times story doesn't mention the book of Genesis at all, and to me that was a pretty glaring omission.
I mean, it really goes to the very heart of giving the reader not only the context of that statement, but the kind of the history of that statement, because we're really talking about a college that is saying, look, what we really want from our faculty at this point is assent to biblical doctrines that are found there, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, and the story quotes the president of this college saying, you know, the clarification with Adam and Eve, this was intended to reaffirm, not alter, the our traditional position. Yet, you know, if you read the Times story, it to a lot of readers, it may sound like, no, it's not just altering; it's a pretty drastic change, because the Times hasn't provided the full statement that could allow readers to judge that the veracity of that on their own. I mean, you know, we've had, you know, a number of readers have commented and said, well, you know, you can Genesis can be interpreted this way or several ways, and I wouldn't disagree with that, but I would still maintain that the Times needs to include that full statement so that readers can have a much better understanding of what the expectation was before and exactly how the new statement is changing that.
And Bryan College is certainly not unique among Christian colleges in this respect, is it?
I'm not an expert on that, but I know that, you know, the Christian colleges I'm familiar with, they all have a doctrinal statement or something along those lines of a belief statement that employees and faculty members are expected to sign.
Is finally on that subject, is this being reported as an issue of academic freedom? You mentioned before secular education is kind of a code word for the real education as opposed to whatever these faculty are doing here. But
right.
is the issue of academic freedom coming into this?
Yeah, I think that's an issue, and the Times got into that a little bit too, as far as the academic freedom. The story was actually, the Times touted it as an education story and not a religion story.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 6, the familiar story, actually 6 through 9, the familiar story in the book of Genesis of Noah and the Great Flood. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. And then in hour 2, we'll study that Easter hymn, The Strife is O'er, The Battle Done. Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Are spiritual warfare and demon possession only found in the time of Jesus and the apostles? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for May is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.
Here's a special offer for Issues, Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter sermon and a sermon on the prophet Job preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.